What did she say? Oh, how precious. We're going to be talking, as you can see on the screen, my strength is in the Lord. We need some more strength, don't we? I tell you, the world we're facing, the problems we face can really tear us down. And we can almost give up at sometimes. Just what's the use of fighting? What's the use in keep going on? And that's because we're trying to do it ourselves instead of letting God do it through us. And so we're going to talk about how our strength's in the Lord, and then talk about how do we apply that in our lives. So we're going to start in the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 18. Psalm 18. You know, being a Christian and really serving God should be an everyday part of our lives. It shouldn't just be a couple of week appointment. It should really be how we live our lives. And the more we learn to walk that way, the more we can experience the presence of God and the strength of God every day. Psalms 18, verse 1, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Yeah, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock. He is my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. Well, that says a lot, don't it? God is our rock, and God is our fortress, and God is our high tower. Everything's directed back to where our strength comes from. It comes from God. I've noticed that when I get the most discouraged, the most weary, the most depressed is when I'm trying to do things on my own. When I'm trying to fight battles on my own, trying to put out fires, trying to fix everybody's problem. And you know what? I've learned there's things I can't fix. And the hardest thing to do is to let go of that fight and let God have it. That's the hardest thing for us to do. Because we think we can fix it, but we can't fix a lot of things. And the sooner we get out of the way, the sooner we can fix something. Or let God fix something. The sooner we get out of the way, the sooner it'll resolve. So God is our buckler, God is our high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Now, we have a lot of enemies trying to surround us, a lot of enemies trying to attack us. Today, they may not be the physical armies of the countries around us that's trying to attack our lives, like David's singing about here. But what are some of our enemies that try to attack us? Enemy of fear, enemy of discouragement, enemy of oppression, enemy of doubt, enemy of unbelief, enemy of anger, enemy of frustration. All these things to try to attack our lives to pull us away from God. But if we realize that we really have no strength within ourselves because we wear out really quick. We get tired of fighting really quick. But God never gets tired of fighting. God goes on and on and on and on. He's an eternal fighting machine in our lives. And that's where our strength comes from. So we've got to let him be that strength. The next chapter is Psalms chapter 40. We're going to be in Psalms for a couple of them. Psalms 40. Verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. Wow, do we do that? We're like, God, I believe you can do it. I want you to do it now. You know, God, I'm going to wait on you. It's Monday morning, and God, I'm going to wait till I see the promise. And by Tuesday at 3 o'clock, where are you at, God? Waiting patiently, that takes something. If we really trust God, we got to trust he knows what he's doing, and he's going to deliver on time. He's going to be right on time. Like with Lazarus, he wasn't late getting to Lazarus. He was right on time. Everything God did was right on time. It's just not our timetable. It's his timetable. So we got to wait patiently. We got to expect and wait on the Lord. And he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. I'm so glad God hears our cry. I love verse 2. He brought me out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. Leave that verse up for a minute, Brandon. He brought me out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he established my goings. You know what that's talking about? He repositioned me and redirected me. He set me up and gave me clear direction. I love Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all of our ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. So David is saying here, he heard my cry. And how did he hear it? He brought me out. See, God brings us out. His strength will bring you out. His strength will carry you through. His strength will be enough.
His strength is all that we need, for His strength doesn't tire out. His strength doesn't give out. His strength doesn't wear out. Whereas we become weak, He becomes strong. We become down, He is always up. When we have fallen, He is always risen. That's His power and His strength. Lean on that strength. Lean on that righteous arm of God. Lean on what He's called you into. Lean on that and trust Him and let Him fight your battles because He wants to. God wants to fight for you. God loves fighting for you. God wants to meet your needs. But if we're always in the way, I've learned with Melanie, there's certain things I'll say, you know, she'll be on a project day or a clean the house day. And I'll say, okay, and here's Melanie. Here's the difference of me and Melanie. When I start cleaning the house, you can actually tell I'm cleaning it. Melanie makes a total disaster before it gets looking better. She's the one that makes it messy and then gets it clean. And so I'll go in there and say, okay, honey, I want to help. I'll start trying to do it. Leave that alone. Well, I'll go over here. No, look, I got that. Look, just go on. Just go on. Works every time, man. Just go on. And so I said, okay, I'm just trying to help. But see, I'm in her way. I'm in the way of her process. Because she has a certain Melanie process that I don't understand. Okay, these three trash bags can't be carried to the trash can yet. Why? Because I got a system. Well, no, not quite that bad. I'm just saying. Okay, you got a system. Stack here, this here, this here. Because what Melanie does, she really does the scrubbing and gets, you know, she does real cleaning. I just do kind of superficial cleaning because I'm a guy. And so I understand that. But I get in her way. Sometimes spiritually, that's how we are. You know, we get in God's way. I'm trying to, you know, it's like getting behind an old person on the highway, right? We get out of the way. Hello, please pull over to the left lane. I'm trying to get by you. And sometimes God doesn't want us to get by Him. He's leading us. You know, when you're the Bible says God leads us and we're supposed to be followers. What do followers do? They follow the one leading them. They don't pass them. They don't go over them. They don't try to get ahead of them. They just follow them. Just simply follow them. Can you imagine you military men? If you've been in a boot camp and you're on that one of them marches and you stepped out and says, I'll take over, Sergeant, follow me. Are you serious? You've been dead back in that day. You've been that close to death. Now they don't do that much, but back in my dad's day and Gail's day, I mean, you did that. You'd been doing push-ups till your arms fell off. You don't just do that. You follow the one leading you. And following is so hard sometimes because we think we can lead better than God can lead. And so we get everything messed up. God wants to establish our goings. He wants to establish our direction. Let Him do that. Verse 3. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Man, we need a new song, don't we? A new song in our mouth. A new attitude, a refreshing of His spirit. And all that comes from His strength. The strength He gives us, it regenerates us. It refuels us. It's like a good night's sleep does. 8 hours of sleep, even for adults, is what is the best medicine for any adult is 8 hours of sleep for your body to truly rest and repair itself. You need 8 hours of sleep. And you wake up and you feel so refreshed and, you know, just, oh, you've rested all night. It's a great thing. We get weak. We get broken. Our strength wears out quick because we're trying to put out a fire in our family, a fire with our kids, a fire in our job, a fire with our money, a fire, you know, with our neighbors or wherever we're at. We're trying to put all these fires out and we become exhausted in the process. And then we can't do anything because we're just too weak. That's where God steps in and says, trust me. Go to the next scripture. This is in Psalm 28, chapter 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth and with song will I praise Him. The Lord is my strength. David had a lot of problems in his life. David had a lot of issues. People always trying to attack his nation. He had all these big decisions to make. People hated Israel then. They hate Israel now. They hated him. They hated what Israel stood for. And David always had issues. And he recognized the Lord was my strength. You know, I said this last week or week before. One of David's sins that really got God's attention was when David numbered the army of Israel. And that's not like a minute thing. I mean, it wasn't like one of the big sins we talk about today in today's generation, the big five sins or whatever. He numbered the chariots. What's the big deal about that? David was relying on his own strength and not God's strength. Why are you numbering your horses and your chariots and your soldiers?
Who cares how big your army is? Am I not the God of all armies? Am I not the Lord of hosts, the King of kings, the Lord of lords? And you're numbering them. You think your help is in those horses, and your help is in those soldiers, and your help is in those spears and swords. Your help's not in any of those things. Your help by your own mouth, David, in front of Goliath, was this, that your help cometh from the Lord. That's where your help comes from. And if we could realize that our help, our strength, everything we have comes from God and God alone, then all of a sudden we can let God do what he does best, be our Lord of our lives and just take care of things that we just can't take care of. See, we can't have true peace in our lives unless we're letting the strength of God lead our lives. We really can't. Because as long as we're trying to do things, we're never going to have any peace. If I could just fix that, if I could just get that, if I could just get that, then no, you won't, because there'll be another problem to arise. Have y'all ever lived any stretch of your life where there were no problems? I mean, we can't get through a day without some kind of issue most time. Most, less a season of our lives. You know, you think when you get your kid out of diapers, oh, it'll be much better. No, it won't. Because then they get in those terrible 4 and 5, you know. And then, oh, when they start school, it'll be better. No, they won't, because they got kids in sick first grade cussing, using 4-letter words. They come home saying, blah, 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 blah. You're like, what? Where'd you learn that at, school? Don't say those words. Then you think, man, I'd be glad they grow up a little bit so they're independent. No, you don't, because then they don't call you and they don't text you and you worry about where they're at. And then, man, if they just get their own license, they'll be out of my hair. No, you'll worry about wherever they go, what they're doing, who they're with. Man, if they just get out of the house and move out, then you worry about what they're doing out of the house, where are they at, who they with. It never changes. And so you gotta get to a point where, I mean, I understand I'm 44 years old, but in my mother's eyes, I'm not those years. She doesn't see me. I know she doesn't, because she's a mother, doesn't see me as a seasoned 44-year-old, big grown-up man. She still sees me as her child. Not as 10, of course, but her heart still sees me as that child. Because I'm never going to catch mom in age. She keeps staying 20 years ahead of me, no matter how far we go. 20 years, 20 years, 20 years. She keeps staying. For some reason, I can't catch up, and she ain't going to slow down. It's 20 years. And so she's always going to see me as that child. I've got a 21-year-old daughter, and I see her as a young woman, but I still see her as Christian, the one that, you know, I always want to give her advice. Well, did you do this? You got your oil change? You got that? You know, how'd your tires look? You know, you need to pay your, you got the bill, make sure you pay your bill. You know, I'm always telling her, I know, Dad, I'm 21. I know that. But she's still my daughter. And so, and I had a whole point to that. Oh, we worry about our kids all their lives. We worry about them. You've heard Connie talk about her son, Scott, you know, in his 30s. Still her son, still cares, still worries. You just can't turn that off. But what you can do is turn the strength of God on. Say, you know what? I can't do any more than what I've done. And so, Lord, I'm going to rely on your strength to get me through every day, to get me through every battle, to get me through every season, because I can't keep fighting because I'm overwhelmed. Don't we get to points in our lives where we're overwhelmed? We're at our end's wits. We're at the end of our rope. We're about to drop off or let go. And we're like, I can't do anymore. I can't take anything else on. I'm completely overburdened. What do I do? You give it to God. And that sounds so simple, doesn't it? It sounds so cliche-ish, so religious. Just give it to God. Just give it to God. But it really is a great breakthrough if we could learn to do that. I guarantee if I said, Sam, I want you to give me your mortgage. I want to take care of it. Look at his face. He would have no problem giving me that mortgage. Here you go. I'm letting go of it. But when it comes to letting go to God of our issues, that seems so hard. Man, just let it go. God wants to take care of our mortgage. He wants to take care of our lives. And the sooner we recognize that by his strength and strength alone, can we stand, can we fight, can we face every day, can we sleep at night, only by his strength. Till we figure that out, we're going to live a life of struggle. I love verse 8. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Glory. We're anointed, church. Everyone from here tonight, we are anointed by God. We've been anointed and appointed unto the Lord. And his strength saves us.
His strength saved us. We couldn't save ourselves. His strength pulled us out of that gutter, out of that pit, out of that sin, out of that darkness. His strength pulled us out. When we were in total rebellion, the strength of God showed up and overshadowed our rebellion. It overshadowed our sin. It overshadowed our unbelief. And we believed because the strength of God came in and showed up and showed us who He was. And that strength pulled us into the kingdom because we couldn't get there on our own. What breaks the alcoholic is the strength of God. The drug addict, the strength of God. A smoker to quit smoking, the strength of God. What causes any stronghold to be loosed? The strength of God. Because we can't fight those battles on our own. There's things we just can't lay down out of goodwill or good intention. Or out of, I'm just so self-sufficiently strong. We're not that strong. We always falter back. How many of us have lost weight? We gain it back. We lose weight, we gain it back. We lose 10, we gain 12. We lose 15, we gain 17. We lose 20, we gain 25. I mean, it's a total cycle because we're just not that strong. I didn't do good at lunch today. I ate at Village Inn today with my dear friend Gail. And guess what? I didn't touch one piece of lettuce or one carrot or one radish. I touched all the pizza and the garlic bread. Carb, fat, cholesterol city. I ate a salad last night for dinner. It was great. So I ate with a salad. I did good. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to eat bad today. See, I don't have no willpower. I'm not strong. But you know what? I didn't give God that. As I was walking the door, I didn't say, in the name of Jesus, give me strength to eat a salad. I went in on a mission. Eat as much pizza as I could for $9. That's what I went in for. We don't have no strength in ourselves. In the little thing, much less the warfare we fight. You know, the only way we keep praying for our kids and praying for our marriages and praying for our families and praying for our future and praying for our direction and praying for our nation is that we have the strength of God to continue to stand in the gap. And it takes God's strength to do that, to keep pressing forward. Go to the next scripture, Brandon. This is in Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, verse 29. He, talking about God, of course, giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth their strength. Isn't that great? I've been there, church. Melanie's been there. We've all been there. To a point we were just so faint and so battered and so beaten down that we just had no strength left to say, you know what, I don't know if I can go on. I don't know how to go on. I don't know how to keep moving forward. But then God gives us this great promise. I'm going to increase your strength. I'm going to give you what you need. What you lack, I can give you. What you're empty of, I can fill. What you don't have now, you can have with me. And that strength comes through spending time with Him. Spending time praying, spending time in His Word, spending time singing songs unto Him, just spending time knowing that that's where your strength comes from. Then it goes on to the next verse, 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Those that wait in expectation of God, their strength is renewed, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How can we keep going in such a tired generation? We let God renew us. This is what church is all about. This is one of the purposes of the local church, is that we get renewed. We get strengthened with each other. We get strengthened by hearing what God says. We get strengthened being in His presence. We get strengthened because the world is always pulling out, pulling out, pulling out. And without the local church, without hearing the Word of God, there's nothing going back in. And as you keep pulling something out, guess what happens? You're empty. Have you ever had a tank of gas to always last? Not even a Toyota hybrid. No. It eventually runs out. You drive long enough, your gas tank will be empty. That's why we got so many West Virginians down here. That's how far tank gas gets them. Statesville, North Carolina. They run out and they land here. You don't think that's truth? That's truth. They told me that. So when you run out, you're stuck. You stop. And the devil is great then because, you know, when you get hungry, how you get grouchy? Most of us get grouchy. We get hungry, don't we? We get a little snappy, a little grouchy, hungry. And you're grouchy till you get filled. You know why? Because you're empty. And all you care about is getting fed. When you are empty spiritually, when you are bankrupt spiritually, when the devil has stole your joy, he stole your peace, he has stole everything away from you, you walk around like a zombie with no purpose, no strength, no power, no authority, and no anointing. And he loves that. We stop praying the way we used to pray. We stop believing the way we used to believe. We stop expecting the way we used to expect, because all of a sudden, all we're hearing now and all we're getting filled with is lies of the devil instead of the strength of God. We can't just keep letting things, people, the world, pull stuff out of us without putting God back in us. Just like your checking account, you draw enough money out with no deposits, you're going to be bankrupt. Spiritually, it's the same way. There's a bankruptcy going on because people are being pulled with so many ways, and the distractions of this world are pulling out the strength God wants to give us. It does. We need the strength of God. We can't go without it. Go to the next scripture. This is in the New Testament. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And this is Jesus speaking, saying to me, talking to Paul, when Paul was praying about relieving him of his affliction. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." You know what he's really saying? My strength works the best when you're at your worst. My strength works the best when you are at your worst. Because when we're at our worst, you know what we're doing? We're calling to God. We finally say, "Okay, God, I need you. That's what I've been waiting to hear, son. I'm just waiting to help you. Just call on me." That's all I was waiting on. But as long as we keep going in our own strength, we keep God out of our lives a little bit. We limit God at what we allow him to do because we're still in the way. But when we're broken to such a point where we're just broken and there's nowhere else to go but up, so to speak. You've heard the old saying, "I can't get nowhere but up. Now I'm so low, I can't get nowhere but up. I've hit bottom." Paul had prayed, said, "Lord, I'm tired of the affliction I'm facing. I want you to remove it." And the Lord says, "No, I'm not going to remove it. My grace is enough to get you through it. And in your weakness, you're going to see my greatest strength. When the odds are against you is when you see me show up in the mightiest way. When you are so low and you are so down is when I will exalt you and rise you up. And you'll see how high I can take you if you'll let me." We can't rely on our own strength. We can't rely on other man's strength. We can't rely on the government's strength. And me and Gail had a great political talk at lunch today, going through all the chaos we're seeing going on right now with the politicians. And we start trying to put our trust in any person, we're going to be failed every time. God never fails me. God never leaves me. God never gripes at me like my wife. God never fusses at me. God never turns his back on me like people. God never forsakes me. God never leaves me. God is always there for me. And that's the only hope I have is in him. For when my breath leaves my body on this earth, he is the one that has my soul. He is the one that has my life. Nobody else here has any control of that. I've given it to the Lord. And he's able to take care of me here and now and later. And I thank God for that. I thank God that when I become so weak, and I've been there. Church, we've all been there. We're so desperate. We're so lost. We're so hopeless. And then we pray to God and call on his name, and that presence of God fills the room or fills this body. We feel his presence covering us up and holding us. And all of a sudden, we leave a little charged, knowing God ain't left us. You ever been in those desolate places where you hadn't felt God in a while? And you worried about that? "I've not felt you, Lord, like I've felt you in a long time." And then you have one of those encounters again, one of those moments. And the Holy Spirit just floods you. And you're reminded, "Thank you, Lord. I'm still yours." I love those moments. Because life can distract us to the point that we don't walk as much in those moments as we need to. Because people are pulling at us. We have family, we have work, we have obligations, we have all this stuff going on. And if we're not careful, we forsake the most important walk, and that's him. And that's why we don't have the strength we need. If you don't eat right, you don't have strength. You don't sleep right, you don't have strength. Well, if you don't walk with God right, you don't have strength. Because it just, life sucks it out of you. I'm thankful that he never leaves me. He said, I would rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know what Paul was saying? He wasn't saying I'm happy about it. He wasn't saying, oh yeah, bring it on, devil. I want to be sick and broke and feel terrible, all for the name of Jesus. But what he was saying is, you know what? If I got to put up with this, and this is my burden to bear, as long as they see Christ in me, as long as the glory of God is shown, I will gladly bear this, that the crown of the Lord shall be seen. Gladly bear it, that the power of God may be manifested. Because, Lord, you'll give me enough strength to get through it. Think about all the times of our lives. God gave us the strength to get through it. It may not have been fun. The thing Melanie hates more than anything is to throw up. She'll fight that. She hates it. I used to fight that when I was younger, but not anymore, because I realized once I get it out, I'm going to be better. So I go in that bathroom, and I indulge the process, and I hate it. And I'm one that I'll do it 4, 5, or 6 times, back to back to back over 3, 4 hours. It just keeps on, and then I'm done. And I hate it, but then I'm done. All that stuff is out, and I'm done. But Melly will fight it, and she'll stay nauseous and sick. And honey, just let it. No, I ain't letting it go. I'll hold it all in till the day I go to the grave. I mean, she's that way. She hates it. Spiritually, church, we hold all this stuff in, instead of letting God just clean us out. Just let God just lift it off of us and just take it all away, that we can experience a strength that we've not had maybe in a very long time. And here's part of the problem: the church culture has changed so much. As a whole, the church culture has changed to where the focus isn't as much about Christ anymore as it is everything else. As a pastor, I hear story after story of people coming to me saying, you know, I'm not in church because I went to this church for a while, and you know what? I was in the hospital for 3 months. Preacher never came, saw me, never prayed me, never called me, never reached out to me. Here's the thing. People won't remember what you say, but they will always remember what you do. That's a lesson to live by. They remember what you do much more than remember what you say. And so we have a generation in the church world that has lost its mission. What are we here to do? All of us, including me, we're here to serve. I'm a servant to the cause of Christ. Randy back there is a servant for the cause of Christ. Each of you that do something is a servant. The people that clean the church, Jeremy doing the sound, and Brennan do, they're servants. Margie in the music, servants. Not lords, but servants. And that's been twisted in the church world to where, you know, a person walks out in a suit and a mic and called a reverend, all of a sudden the world bows down. The world don't bow down to no man of God. The world bows down to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the only one worthy to bow down to. And we've lost that concept. And that's why people are hurt and their needs aren't being met. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. And Peter said, Master, what are you doing? We should be washing your feet. No, I'm teaching you that when I'm off the earth, this is your job. You serve humanity with humility. And I'm telling you, I see it all the time in religious circles. It turns me off. When I see a religious, arrogant spirit that someone thinks they're better than someone else because they've got a title, whether it's bishop, whether it's pastor, whether it's head deacon, whether it's just prophetic man of God or woman of God, that I hate that. I'm going to tell you this. I would rather have an unbelieving, demon-possessed person in the church than a religious, arrogant spirit, because the unbeliever can believe when the Holy Spirit speaks. I'm telling you, it's where I'm at. I'm around it and I see it and it drives me crazy. I got other preachers that I can't relate to sometimes because there's an arrogance there. And I can tell that I'm nothing to them because I don't act like they do. I don't act very pastoral. I'm not here to act pastoral. I'm here to preach the gospel. I'm here to love people. I'm here to be a listening ear and have a servant's heart. That's all I care about. And all that can drain me and drain people and drain a church when we get away from the mission and away from the vision of this. Why are we here? What is the church about? The church is not about building campaigns and about all the programs. Those are part of what has to happen, yes, but it's not the focus. The focus is Jesus being preached. The focus is redemption and forgiveness and salvation and healing and deliverance and yoke breaking and stronghold binding breaking. That's what the mission of the church is for. And when we center around that and say, God, we need your strength in our church. We need your strength in our body. We need strength in our leadership. We need your strength in everything that's done. Let your strength, let your power, let your authority reign supreme. Then we will see things change and lives healed. But it takes the strength of God, not the strength of man. Go to the next scripture. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. Paul's saying, look, I'll put up with all that stuff for the sake of Christ. Because when I'm weak, then I am strong. This to me is one of the most profound scriptures in the Bible. Because it doesn't even make sense to a natural person. A real intellectual person reads that verse. Then, you know, for when I'm weak, then I am strong. That don't make sense. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Is that a Chinese proverb? No, it's the Word of God. When I am weak, then am I strong. You know what he's saying? That when you recognize in yourself that you need a Savior, that you need his help, when you step back and recognize without him you're empty and hopeless, then all of a sudden you're stronger than ever because you're allowing his strength to come into your life. You're not blocking it out no more. There's so many walls, on Sunday mornings especially. You're the Wednesday night crowd. You're the good crowd. Sunday morning crowd, so many walls. Or I feel raise up, because we just let it so much in, but then when it's uncomfortable, no, I'm okay. No, I don't want that to come in. If we could learn just to recognize we all need to be broken, just broken. My God, I have no problem admitting I've been broken before. I have no problem breaking under the power of the Holy Spirit and saying, God, break me down. God, I know I'm not that strong. I know I can't carry the burdens. God, I know I'm not really probably fixing a lot of issues. I'm just making things worse or getting in the way. And God, I just want to get out of the way so that I can be the strongest person I could ever be. And that strength comes from you. Because when I become so empty, then I let you fill me. And all of a sudden, it's not me in operation anymore. It's you in operation. Remember Peter and John, they walked by the lame man and he thought we'll give him some money. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. Rise up and walk. This was not a planned event. This was not a staged event. They're walking down the road, and the Holy Spirit prompted them, and Peter and John operated in the strength of God in that moment. Not their own strength, not their own abilities, but in the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to look at them and say, rise up and walk. And when that happened, the man rose up immediately, received strength in his ankle bones, and went away leaping and praising God because they allowed the strength of God, the anointing of God, the presence of God to be how they operated. It sounds so simple, but it's so hard for us to do. Next scripture. Got a couple more. Philippians 4:13, we all know this one. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can face any battle. I can withstand any storm. I can stand before any giant. I can accomplish anything. I can break any stronghold. I can have any healing if I let the strength of God be the governing force of my life and not mine. Faith in the Lord that he can do what he's promised to do, and just trust that. Just trust that God is what he says that he is. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can walk in peace. I can walk in joy. I can walk in authority. I can walk in his anointing. I can walk in power through his strength, but not my own. It takes the strength of God. And there's a difference in our strength and his strength that we can tell when we're not operating his strength. I love when I feel his. There have been moments in my life I have felt his strength come into my life in a moment. I could feel him lifting me up and lifting me out, and I felt different than I did before because I allowed his strength to become my strength. Next verse. This is the last one, I believe. This is 1 Peter 5, verse 6. We've talked about the strength of God, that He is our strength. He pulls out of the pit, da-da-da, all that stuff. But how do we walk in it? How do we experience it? That's the real question. How can I really experience that strength? It tells us here in 1 Peter, we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Humble means submit, surrender. As we surrender under the mighty hand of God. Now let's talk about that just a minute. How do we surrender? We get rid of self. We definitely don't marry ourselves, right? We get rid of self. And we say, okay, self, out of the way. Not about me. It's about God. It's not about what I want. It's about what He wants. It's not about my desires. It's about His desires for my life. If we could ever get the number one enemy out of our lives, and that is us, that's self, then we can see things change. We surrender ourselves, shed off ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you, raise you up, lift you up in due time or due season. So what I gather from this is as I surrender myself to God, He will lift me up and lift me out of what I'm in if I'll do that. Whatever I'm in, God can lift me out of. He lifts Joseph out of the pit. He lifts Joseph out of the prison. He lifts Daniel out of the lion's den. He lifted David out of the giant. He lifted up the Israelites out of the Red Sea. We've seen God exalt and lift up as the strength of God was being demonstrated. Even Samson. And Samson struggled. Samson, he struggled. I mean, he was born a Nazarene, supposed to break any of the laws. He broke all of them. You know, wasn't supposed to ever drink no strong drink. He drank wine all the time. He liked to drink. Wasn't supposed to date any strange women, but his own kind. He went after every woman that looked good. He's a womanizer. Wasn't supposed to eat any dead thing, and he went by a bear and found some honey. He touched a dead carcass. I mean, he did everything he wasn't supposed to do. But you know what? He still relied on God for his strength. Because when they were messing with his hair, and he was trying to deceive Delilah, remember the Bible says he would shake himself when the guards come in, and the power of God would come upon him, and he would defeat them. And then his very last act of his life was the strength of God showing up. As he was blind, his eyes had been poked out, he was being made fun of, and he was a slave. Here's the great judge of Israel, now a slave, and being a sporting event as he's grinding the wheel. And he asked a young man, says, can you lead me to a couple of pillars, lead me to where I can get my hands on a couple of the pillars of the temple. And a little boy led this judge, this once great judge of God, blind, and had lost so much because of his disobedience. And he put his hands upon them columns, and he said, Lord, one more time, let me feel your strength, and let Israel know that there is still a God. And as the power of God came upon him, the strength of God infused him, the temple came crumbling down, and he took out more enemies in his last act on the earth than all the years that he lived. God's strength showed up. He couldn't do it on his own. He was blind, he was trapped, he was enslaved. But God's strength showed up and raised him up. Then the last verse, we cast all our care upon God. Go to the next slide. The word casting in original Greek means this, to throw off, to toss, to set down. You fishermen, Joe Brown, know what casting means. I'm not very good at that. I always get tangled up in something. Casting. We throw off, we toss away, we set down anything and give it to God. When you set something down, you know what you do? You walk away from it. When you toss something or throw it away, what are you doing? You're releasing it from yourself to someone else. A quarterback throws a football to a wide receiver. It leaves his hand, and now the wide receiver is responsible for getting that ball from that moment on to the finished end of the play. It's out of the quarterback's hands. It's his deal now. We throw our problems. We throw our burdens. We throw our issues. We just throw them off. Say, God, take it. I give it to you. I'm leaving empty-handed tonight. It's yours. And I'm walking out of here, Lord, without this on me no more. Because I'm tired of losing sleep over it. I'm tired of being bound by it. I'm tired of being a slave to it. Do you realize that our problems can make us slaves? It can enslave us. We become prisoners of our own battles.
prisoners of our own storms, prisoners of our own giants, and it keeps us in a bondage. And though we may be free, we're more bound than ever. We're like the elephant, the trained circus elephants. How they train the elephants, they tie a rope around their leg, and they can only go so far, and they do that for so many days or weeks, and then they're able to take the rope off the elephant. But the elephant still thinks he's got a rope, and the elephant still doesn't go past that point. It can be loose to goose, but it doesn't leave that area. It's been programmed, I can only go this far. It's still a slave to what had it. It's still a slave to what it was. It's still a slave to how it was and how it's being. We're not that person no more. We have been set free by the grace and the blood of Jesus. We are no longer entangled in that bondage anymore. So it's time to live free and act free and be free and give it to God and let Him be God in our lives. Glory to God. That's good preaching for Wednesday night. Hallelujah. Glory. The strength of God. That's what we need. We've got a weakened generation that needs to know that they can't fix problems themselves. Just like our leadership, our government needs to understand that we are a nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And it's under God that we've gotten away from to realize that the hand of God is why we're blessed. The hand of God is why we live here. The hand of God is what's given us everything we've got. And with that hand removed, man, we're in trouble. Think about it. People call, you know, the reason the earth, the reason we don't float away is the word, science word called gravity. But you know what gravity really is? Hand of God. That's all it is. It's the hand of God. And if that hand of God was loosed upon the earth, we'd all be bye-bye. But the hand of God keeps it. Think about the amazing thing of this earth, this big old marble, how it's tilted and just floating in the middle of the air and spinning, and there's nothing holding it on the bottom. We're literally in the middle of the air floating right now. That's incredible. And science calls it gravity. Okay, that's fine. But it's really the hand of God that keeps us from just going to oblivion. And so if we recognize that everything we see, everything we know, comes by God, and we can have no power without it and no hope without it. Marge, come on up here if you would. I want to do something a little different tonight on Wednesday to close out the service. The Lord just dealt with me to do this earlier today when I was over here, that we want to pray for those of you that need strength tonight. You need strength to face tomorrow, you need strength to face the next day, you need strength for the next season, you need strength for just this moment, that you're battered and you're weakened. And I'm going to believe tonight, as we pray together, that God is going to give you new strength. Strength to rejuvenate yourself, strength to have joy again, His peace again, His power again, strength. Because some of you are in a season that you need to come out of. You don't belong in that season no more. And God wants to bring you out of that season. And you won't come out unless the hand of God pulls you out. And you can't let the hand of God pull you out until you let the strength of God fill you. Because we can't do it ourselves. I want to pray for a pouring of His strength, that you will leave here tonight stronger than you were when you walked in. Stronger to face your challenges. Stronger to face what's ahead of you. Stronger to let go of the past. Stronger to enjoy today. Some of us have lost our joy of living. We used to enjoy life, and stuff has came in and robbed us of that, to where we've just lost our joys. We're going through the motions of just work and life, and we don't have any joy anymore, really experiencing what God has for us. Every day is a gift from God. Every day we wake up, we didn't have to, but the hand of God woke us up, and we're here for a reason. We're here for a purpose. We're here because God's not done with us. We're here because we have an assignment. You have an assignment that's not yet been fulfilled. And we need strength to reach that assignment. Strength to reach that destiny that God's called us to be in. So if you need strength tonight, I want you to walk up here and just stand. We're going to pray together tonight that God gives each of you strength. Strength in your body. Strength in your soul. Strength in your mind. Strength of God to fill you tonight. Come up here so we can pray. If that's you, you need strength.
Cause I'm not worried about the time. Cause Lord, I seem to find my
Y'all just be praying, getting in a mode of worship before we pray. Just be meditating on God right now. Thank you, Father.
I'm not worried about the time, 'cause Lord, I seem to find my strength while I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. Lord, I'm patiently waiting on you. I'm not worried about the time, 'cause Lord, I seem to find my strength while I'm waiting on you.
Lord, I pray over this people at this altar as they stand before a holy God, broken, weakened, discouraged, don't know where to go or maybe where to turn. Life has come in and robbed them of what you have given them. But we're taking it back tonight. We're getting it back right now. Not tomorrow. In this moment, we are getting it back. I pray for a supernatural outpouring of your strength to come upon these people and fill them, Lord, with a newfound strength. Fill their minds, their hearts. Fill their mouth with a brand new song of praise and worship. Fill them, God, with a fresh vapor and savior of your Holy Spirit. Let an odor, God, ascend from this place out of your people in the name of Jesus. Pour strength, power, and authority upon your people again. In the name of Jesus, we receive that. Oh, Father, we receive that, that we will leave here different than we came, trusting you from this moment on, giving it to you, throwing it away, tossing it into your corner, saying, God, it's now yours, no longer mine. And I'm leaving here filled with your power and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Boy, I don't know about y'all. I felt that, church. Man, I felt that. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Y'all hug someone beside you, give them some love, and just let them know you love them. And you're there for them. It just, whew, gosh. Man, that was powerful. Aren't you glad our God's alive and not dead? Glory. Man, I'm glad God's alive. Go ahead and sing a little bit more.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my God. Hold me closely to his side.
We speak to this heart that you made, God. This heart you created. We speak nothing wrong. We speak healing. We speak it be made whole. We speak a good report. That she will get a report saying that God has made everything right. Let there be no fear, but fill her with peace tonight. To trust you, God, that it's okay because you're in control. In the name of Jesus, let healing be poured upon her, Lord, like new wine in Jesus' name.
Closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. God will make a way
where there seems to be no way.
He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be
thank you,
my
Father.
God.
Thank you, Jesus.
And hold me closely to his
thank you,
side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way.
Yeah.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way.
Mom, come here. I'm going to have my mom stand with you. My mom is Holy Spirit filled. I'm going to have her pray with me. That your wife, Carl, wants to pray that his wife sees the truth and that God opens her eyes unto salvation. So I just want you to kind of stand in proxy with him with me, okay? What's your wife's name again?
Vienna.
Vienna. Okay. Lord, as this man of God stands before you seeking salvation
he
for his wife,
and
Lord, the deception will be removed, the scales of lies will be cast off. That God, you visit
love
her.
And
you visit her, Jesus. And show up and shine
he
a light around her and call her name and let her know there is only one true God, and you are it. In the name of Jesus, pass her way and call her out of darkness and into light. And we believe that and we speak that to her life in Jesus' name.
He will make a way for me. He will be my God.
Glory to
hold me closely to His side. With
glory.
Love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. God will make a way when there seems to be no way.
I'm praying for you today. Is that okay?
He works in ways we cannot see.
You believe in prayer,
he
also.
Will make a way
yes,
for
do.
Me. He will be my guide.
You know
hold me closely to
the enemy
his
cannot
side.
And will not have this child.
Love and strength
we speak deliverance.
For each new day.
We speak
he
breakthrough.
Will make a way.
For every attack trying to come against his life. To pull him into
God
something he's
make
not.
A
we rebuke
way
it. And we claim the blood of Jesus
no
upon this child's
way.
Life. Upon his
he
heart, upon his soul,
we
in the name of
see.
Jesus,
he will
let
make
the breakthrough happen. Break
me.
These walls,
he
break whatever is happening,
God.
And we speak healing
hold
that Tay will be made whole, completely whole, in the name
and strength
of Jesus.
For each new day, he will make a way.
I love you, Tay. Father, we thank you for this time tonight. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your spirit, God, has been so alive here. It's a privilege and an honor that you visited us tonight in this way. We never take that for granted, Lord. We thank you, God, for what you've done. And we just know we're going to leave here changed by what you've done. We're going to leave here strengthened, empowered, lifted up. Thank you. Lord, bless every heart in here. Keep us safe as we go our separate ways. Have your hand of mercy upon all of us. Bring us back together as a family. And we know that everything that's been said and done and prayed, God, is for your glory. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have an offering tonight, you can come.